So the message I feel like the Lord has for us today is dream team. And I'm going to tell you, it's who you are. I don't have time to go into the original dream team, played 1992 Olympics. It's a fascinating story. You may want to go learn about it. But it is arguably the best sports team that has ever existed in all of history. And so now it's become common if you think someone is like just amazing and they're like beyond exceptional in their capacity to call them, well, this is the dream team. And I want to share with you, thank you for being a dream team for the Lord, and thank you for being a dream team for me. So that last little part you may not know about. When Greg asked me to share, it was initially for June, and so I couldn't do it. I was traveling a fair amount, but I realized, oh, September will be great. I didn't realize that this would be the 21st anniversary of the bike ride where I saw a car run over our son, our oldest son, and kill him. So I'm sitting in Finland for work this past week, thinking and praying about the message that the Lord has for us for today. And I just kept getting choked up, thinking about how I stand here because so many of you have stood beside of us. And I have to tell you, there is no way I would be doing what I'm doing today if you had not been standing with me all this time. So I want to praise God for that, and I want to thank you for it, and I want you to recognize and walk in the great calling the Lord has given you. And I'm going to share a little bit about how God has helped me do that, but I can't do that without first saying, you know, some of us are in a place of struggle, and I have definitely been in places of struggle before. Clearly, after we lost our son, it's really one of the hardest things you can ever have to deal with. I'm good friends with Kay Warren. About 4 years ago, their son committed suicide. I was at the memorial service. Rick preached it, and he said something very true. And he said, the only people who really emerge from such a tragedy with hope and contribution and healing and purpose are those for whom God makes some meaning out of their own suffering. So I want to tell you a little bit. Some of you don't know the story of our family because the church has changed a lot in 12 years. So I'm going to quickly tell you the story of our family. And I have to thank two of our daughters who drove a long way to be here. Katya and Ksusha are in the back, and they'll help me tell the story. And Katya's husband, Alex. So after Johnny died, one day later, his older sister, Christy, age 11, looks at me and says, Mommy, our family will never be right with only two kids. Do you think we might be able to adopt some kids who need family? And I said, oh, honey, like you just cannot try to replace your brother. And I just think we need to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and trust God's going to get us through there. She goes, Mommy, I've already thought about that. She's 11. And I don't think I'm trying to replace Johnny. Would you pray about it? What are you going to say? No? And I said, yes, but like, I don't think your daddy would go for it. Mommy, I already talked to daddy, and he said maybe. So I thought, oh, snap. So I did pray about it, and Brian prayed about it, and within several months, we felt it was clear to us God had called us to adopt two other children. So I'm going to need a little bit of help telling this story. You two stand up, Stephen and Beth. So these are the two children we had after Johnny died, and it's Christy and Trevor. We had two. And then so we started praying. We felt God leading us to adopt two more, and we did, and we adopted Anya and Alex. Julia and Alejandro, would you stand up? So they are Anya and Alex. And then Anya starts realizing, oh my goodness, my best friend Katya is still in the orphanage and Katya would love to have a family and I'm going to pray for Katya until she comes into our family. And I said, let's pray for Katya until she gets another family because like I was barely making it with four children. And God did not answer that prayer. He answered that Katya is going to be in your family. So Katya, will you stand up? And we'll pretend, Alex, that you are one of the brothers instead of the husband. Alex, you stand up. And then I need... Tyler, would you stand up? One other person here called Katya. We didn't know it came with two brothers. And then this was 2000. I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, do you not realize I work full time and now you're giving me seven children and what are we going to do? And so about 3 months after that, Alex, who's Alejandro, levántate la mano. Alejandro, gracias. So Alex started praying. He was in fourth grade, and he started praying at his school that he could go back to Russia, the land of 11 time zones, and find his other three sisters that were somewhere in that country. So he comes home and tells me, and I said, honey, this just sounds impossible. He goes, Mommy, you always taught us there's nothing impossible with God. I thought, oh, great. You know, you just be careful. Your kids will catch you in things. And so he kept praying. 1 week after he comes home and says that, we get a call and we learn that Alex and Anya's biologic daddy had perished in a house fire. The mother had disappeared. And there were three little girls who were sisters to our first two adopted kids, Anya and Alex, and they needed a family. And I said, well, I'm going to Russia next week, so like, where are they? Could I go visit them? Oh, they're just a 30-minute ride from where you're going anyway. And I thought, oh my goodness. And then I got really afraid. I thought, Lord Jesus, don't tell me I'm not making it with seven and you're going to give me 10. So Ksusha is here. She's our baby. Ksusha, stand up. And she, there are also two more. Do you two right there just want to stand up? You two right there? That's great. So this is a picture of our 10 children. Sit down, please. Great. So I thought I would share that's a little bit of a story. And that's what, you know, a lot of us saw. And it's a lot of what you all have helped love us through. But I want to share a little bit about recognition and implementation of God's dream. Because I'm here to tell you, Northlands Church, I had not realized how much my being where I am is because you have been behind me and beside me and in front of me, before me. And I am so ready to be to you what you have been to me and to help you believe God has this great dream for your life. I do not care where you are right now. You may be on the mountain and you may be in the valley or you may be in between. I believe God has a great purpose in whatever he has for, you know, in your life right now, and he is all about walking you into it. So I'm going to share how God, first of all, helped me recognize his dream for my life. And I'll start by sharing this verse. Next slide, sorry. The secrets of the dream team. Let me take a little bit of an aside right now and say that this picture is one I took out of my window returning from Liberia 2 years ago. And it's all of these clouds in the sky. And there, when we were praying this morning, the Lord showed Tyler a picture pretty much like this slide, but he's never seen this picture. And I thought, oh my goodness, we are holding on because the Lord has something really special for us today. So what was remarkable about this, what I saw out my plane window, is that each of these clouds has a distinct shape of a shadow underneath it on the ocean surface that perfectly matches the shape of the cloud. Can you all see? Can you pick up? Can you see the shape of the cloud? And it occurred to me that so often I think a lot of our struggles in life is that, like, I am this cloud over here, the Susan Hillis cloud, and God has some particular shade he's calling me to give, but I see over there someone else's cloud, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I should be over there doing what they're doing. Well, God has not called me to be over there at that cloud. So this is actually a picture of all of you, and my goal and my prayer has been, as I've been preparing this message, that God would give you greater revelation in the part of his kingdom and the world that he is calling you just simply to be his instrument of shade and refuge and hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and by his Spirit who lives within us. So I will say that for me, the secret to recognizing, remember recognition is what we're on, what God's dream for me is, has really been the secret place. And the secret place is really often a place. It's, I mean, we kind of speak of it figuratively, and it is figurative, but for me, I think the places where God has most spoken to me have been the Monastery of the Holy Spirit here in Conyers when I've gone on extended retreats just with the Lord there. Here in Northlands Church, typically in prayer time, And on my couch at home or in my kitchen at home when I'm having my time with the Lord there every day. So this is a verse God gave me, and I feel like it's like the umbrella verse over this entire message, grab onto it. And it's this. It's the verse God gave Brian and me as the promise for our marriage. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him, for God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Now, this interplay of the singular and the plural in this verse is fascinating, because things that eye has not seen, it sounds like one person, my eye, or ear has not heard, one person, or which has not entered one person's heart. It sounds like it's the singular, right? But that's all that God has prepared for all of those who love him. And so whatever God is really wanting to prepare is my dream. It's because he's going to use it to bless all of you. And whatever your dream is, he's going to use it to bless all of us and all the world. Your dream is not for you. Your dream is from God, and it's for God, and it's for people he loves. And so that's somewhat freeing, because, man, if I know God has a dream for me, I'm all about going after it. And this, why do I say, to me, this is like the best dream verse in the Bible, because it so clearly says, you haven't seen it, you haven't heard it, you haven't even, it hasn't even entered into your heart. It's all. So if we're going to be walking in all God has prepared for us, it is going to be way beyond what we could ever perceive. And it sometimes might be a little scary. It has been for me. So the secret place is the secret to coming to understand what that is. So I'm going to share four times the Lord has spoken to me personally. Greg has encouraged us many times. Keep things God is saying to you for your life, kind of like your life purpose and verses and God's words to you in this little place. This is my favorite journal. It's my purple journal. If my house is on fire, I would take it first, because it has here in these middle two pages that I keep going and adding to different things the Lord has said to me over the years that have helped me recognize his dream for my life. So next slide, please. So these are the four things that I'm going to talk about: a purpose, a prayer, a dream, and a destiny. From a purpose to a prayer, from a dream to a destiny. And it's honestly just me doing what I feel like the Lord is calling me to do, and that is to live my secret life publicly. It's not that comfortable, but I feel like God is wanting me to do it because he has so blessed me in that secret place. I want nothing more for every one of you in the room and every one of you online than to experience the joy of living in that secret place. So from a promise to a prayer and from a dream to a destiny. The next 4 to 5 slides, I'll share how God talked with me about that. But let's stay on this one for just a minute. After we lost our son, we had finally been able to have children after 8 years of infertility. So it felt like a tragic betrayal to me from God that that happened. And I really experienced 5 deaths. I don't really have time to go into them. That's maybe another message. But for every one of those deaths, the death of my son, the death of my marriage, the death of my faith, the death of my family, and the death of the person God made me to be, God gave this miraculous and precise and irrefutable resurrection to me, the most noteworthy in my mind of which is I'm sitting in a hotel room for work with CDC in New York City in 1996, struggling that I am just a depressed recluse. Like, can you imagine Susan Hill as a depressed recluse? Like, that was me. And I did not like the person I had become. And I was very tired of asking the Lord to help me and him doing nothing about it. And sitting there in that hotel room in New York City, the Holy Spirit said, I raised Jesus from the dead, and I'm going to raise the part of your heart that died with Johnny right now. And it was as miraculous as if I didn't have a leg in it, suddenly I had a leg. And I got off that plane, and Brian says, you are back! And I said, yes! So After God did for me what no one else could do, it was only natural for me to promise to do for him anything I could. So one Tuesday, I'm sitting praying at our kitchen table. I open my hands like this. I invite you to do this from time to time. It's a wonderful thing to do. Lord, I promise you, if you will just show me your call on my life, I will obey you. I just need you to show me what it is. So that's a Tuesday. Wednesday, I go to the monastery, my secret place, have some time alone with the Lord. I'm walking in, and this monk says to me, "Hurry, hurry, hurry, come here, I'm here waiting for you." And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I did not bargain for this. And he goes, "I've got to preach Vespers in 5 minutes. I've taken a vow of solitude. God has me out here today because the main monk is sick at the retreat center, but I am here to pray for you, and you've got to better come follow me right now." And I thought, oh my goodness. So I thought, well, I guess it's okay. So then I start following this monk, and you know, we go into this living room like place. He goes, "Sit down. Don't feel my hands on you. Feel the hands of the Lord Jesus on you. Don't hear my voice to you. Hear the voice of the Lord Jesus to you. I have chosen you to be an instrument of my love in the lives of many children who have been abandoned." It was 6 months after we had adopted Anya and Alex. "Always lay hands on them and bless them in Jesus' name. And someday I'm going to give you a house, and it's going to be called the House of the Godly Child, and I'm going to send many children to you there who are hurting." Got pretty scared about that one. I thought, well, maybe the rest of it's okay. So then, you know, he leaves and sings Vespers, and I'm driving home after the weekend. I'm thinking, what am I going to say to Brian when he goes, "Sweetie, how was your weekend at the monastery?" And I'm going to go, "Sit down, honey." So I did sense very much, like, it was very clear to me that initial call was to be an instrument of God's love in the lives of many children who had been hurting and who had been abandoned. Next slide, please. And this is the picture of that promise come to fruition. I told you about the 10. This is sweet Katya in the back and her husband Alex's wedding a couple of months ago. And this is literally my nuclear family. It's my husband and my children and just their spouses and my grandchildren. So what was fascinating is a lot of people, like this started in about 1997 forward, a lot of people in Northlands came alongside of us as we were adopting. The Templetons did, others did. And at one point, we had prayed about 70 people, 70 kids into loving families, and about 20% of our church body in around 2009 were actually adopted. And so what happened is, God's call on me came. I shared about it. People here joined me in praying about it and believing that God was going to be calling more and more of his people to love his children. And we saw what ended up like one little family having 8, which seemed like a lot, to a church contributing to 70 coming into hope and faith. And it's still happening. There, even last night, I was talking with someone in our church about adoption. The second, this is from the promise to the prayer. So we were still praying out there in that little Northix area. And I had just been deployed in my job for CDC to work on at her, just because of the disaster associated with Hurricane Katrina. And I was surprised because I had had a sudden total loss of vision in the lower half of my left eye. So I could see fine in my right eye, and the top I could see in my left eye, but basically 25% of my visual field was gone. And I was thinking, you know, Lord, in the scriptures, when people are blind, you are doing something pretty special. And so I'm just going to ask you, is there anything that you want to say to me in the middle of this blindness? Sometimes we may not exactly be in agreement with what the Lord says back to us. I will be honest about that. So the Holy Spirit said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. I say about 75% of your life, well done. But there is 25% of your life of my call on your life you are blind to. I have not called you to only love the children who are being adopted and fostered in your church and in the city and in Georgia and in Russia. I'm calling you to all of the orphan children, and I understood in all the countries. And I said, okay, Lord, do you not see I'm working full-time and have 10 children, and I do not have time for any more than I'm doing right now? And it was like, you know how you put a record on repeat and it says the same thing? Or you put, you know, whatever it is on repeat. You don't do records anymore, but your phone, I guess. Hear the message again. It was like the repeat message, and it came again. I thought, oh, well. So what I did with each of those revelations is what was a natural next step with where I was in life. After the first revelation, I didn't quit my job and go around the world doing anything different. And after this one, actually, the only thing I did was I began to write a book of what we had seen God do for our family, because I believed that book could reach people in many other parts of the world and not just people here. And it was really all I saw that I could do. What ended up happening is I went from having contributions in about 8 children's lives in our family to 8 countries. And I'm here to tell you that what has happened that God has done with Northlands and with our team now is we are going from influencing 70 children to about 70 countries. So this World Without Orphans meeting we were just at in Thailand had 56 there live, and it had another 14 countries or so leadership just remotely, like online, live streaming. Isn't it so amazing how as you just start being faithful in the small things, God just keeps adding more? So this is, I haven't called you only to the orphans in your church and in Russia, but I have called you to all the orphans. And you see that the reason God is calling us to them is because we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and it's where we all wish we could go. And we can help take other people with us there. Next slide, please. From the dream. So I had gone with Michelle and Jenny Means and Beth. I had talked them into going with me to my monastery for about 24 hours, one May, a couple years ago. And actually, we spent the night, and the Holy Spirit woke me up 3 times and said this. Just what I heard in my mind. I have not called you only to the literal orphans, but to all the orphans. And by that, I understood all the orphans, any child and any adult and any country that does not believe they are who Jesus says they are. You look at John 14, 18. Jesus, right in the upper room with those disciples, says to them, I will not leave you as orphans. You're thinking like, no, they're not orphans, they're disciples. I'm telling you, often the deepest of us as disciples are living a lie of orphan status, and I'm here to tell you, we need to not let each other live that way, and we need to say, I am not having it. You know, that is not who you are, and I want you to live like who you are, and you are a son or daughter. Let me tell you why this is so important. Because only if we are living as sons and daughters can we ever raise sons and daughters. It is very clear to me 4 years ago in Nepal, the Holy Spirit said to me, orphans cannot raise sons and daughters. So we have a world of orphans in the church, and so we're really not going to be able to have the impact that God wants unless we're understanding this. Next slide, please. So what I want to do a little bit is now just go back to, you know, any team has a name, the Cavaliers, whatever, Miami Heat. I think our team's name is the Winds of Change Dream Team. It's exactly what, Greg, you shared with us in June. It's the only sermon that I have recorded in the back of my Bible because I felt like it was so critically important. And it is exactly what I've just illustrated in these three little things God is saying to me in secret and the testimony of what God did as a result. You'll be an instrument of my love for many abandoned children. From about 1997 to 2007, God was speaking restoration to individual children and that he has a good plan for them, like Katya and Ksusha have walked into along with Alex, and our other children are in process as well. Then to love orphans in all the countries, and here we go from up to 70 countries. And then, you know, God was speaking about your point number two, winds of change, was in the nations. God is calling us to the nations. He's going to send teams to the nations. And then going to all the orphans. Listen, we are going from children to nations to generations. And what God is going to do for us and through us is going to have enduring impact for many. That's why it is so important that we step up to our dream, guys, because it is not about you and it is not about me. It's about God's plan for hope. I think you called it outrageous hope, Greg, when you were talking. God's plan for outrageous hope for all the world. So, next slide, please. So I thought this picture, you know, you can have symbols and diagrams and numbers, but this picture says a lot. If we think about the scriptures, we see that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's three generations right there, brothers and sisters. And so right here you see Christy and Johnny about a year before he died, our first two kids. And then Christy has grown up. Our other kids have grown up. So Brian and I are the first generation. And then we have the second generation of all our 11 children. And then now you have the third generation of my beautiful five little granddaughters right there. And Ksusha has her oldest little girl, Maddie, in a Christian day school. She's learning Bible verses. I went to Grandparents Day a week ago, and she has very Alabama Southern accent. And Maddie is telling me, Let me tell you what I'm learning. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I said, oh, Maddie, will you do it again? And she goes, yeah, I'll do it again. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I am here to tell you, I am proud of you, Ksusha. I am proud of you, Katya, and I am proud of Maddie. And I am proud that all of you, you may not know, it was not always easy when we had everybody at home. You have probably heard some funny stories about some of the things illnesses have gone through. Like one time I told Brian, either that child is moving out or I am. And he said, well, I think you better move out. And I said, what do you mean? I'm a lot nicer than they are. He goes, sweetie, I can't think of anybody that would take them, but a lot of people would take you. So I'm just like, I don't want to paint an overly rosy picture of what we have gone through to get to this place. So next slide, please. So destiny, to destiny. And that is, can I just invite you to do a study before the Lord and the Holy Spirit of Jesus withdrew and to determine to live the Jesus withdrew life? I love one of the passages in Luke where it talks about Jesus, as was his custom, goes and spends all night on the Mount of Olives, and then he gets up and he goes and he starts teaching immediately in the synagogue. And what I always hear when I read that is, if you spend the night on Resurrection Mountain, you're going to have to say, you're going to have something worth listening to in the morning. And so, you know, I'm just saying, we are being invited to all that we need, and that is intimacy with the voice of our Savior and his presence on that mountain of hope. And it's as easy as us saying yes to what he is offering us. So Jesus withdrew. I want to say one other thing about this destiny slide. The fourth thing that God clearly revealed to me was, Greg came up to me after prayer one time, probably 8 years ago, and he goes, Susan, we are in prayer, and I felt like the Lord, I saw you standing before this big abyss on this cliff, and there's this little rope bridge going across to the other cliff, and you are very worried, and you're trying to figure out, should you get on that bridge? And the Lord says, don't worry, Susan. When the time is right, he will put you on that bridge. So, Greg, it was very sweet of you to tell me that. But I was bent out of shape because I go talk to Beth Templeton because I didn't know you quite well enough then to talk to you that directly. And I said, Beth Templeton, why does the Lord tell me something to my pastor that is like Greek to me, and I don't speak Greek? He could tell me in Spanish or Russian or German or English, but like Greek. I have no clue what that means. She goes, Susan, calm down. You need a friend like Beth in your life. She goes, you know what I've learned from my mama is when you need to understand something that God reveals to you, he will make it clear. So just store that up and don't you worry about it. And when it needs to become clear, it'll become clear. So I thought, that's good advice. I took it. And it has become very clear. And God has placed me, and I believe he has placed all of us on, I would call it, a figurative bridge. Now, I also am on a literal one, but I want to talk about the figurative one first. And it's called the Wisdom Revelation Bridge. Ephesians 1:17, I bow my eyes before the Father, and I, every time I, remembering you in my prayers, I give thanks, and I pray that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, wisdom, I believe, is all of Scripture, the wisdom of Scripture, the wisdom of science and knowledge that God also has created, and the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And what I have learned in raising children, loving my husband, ministering, working, is that this bridge has these three parts. And if I start walking only on the wisdom of science, it's going to stop, because it's not going to get me where I need to go without the revelation of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of the Scriptures. So any bridge that we need to be on for any dream that God is calling us to is going to have these three critical parts. Next slide, please. So one of the things that my husband and I do, Brian and I do at the beginning of every year, is we just spend some time in January asking the Lord, will you just show us your call for our lives this year? It's kind of like, you know, what's your theme? And this year it was so funny because the Lord said to me, don't be shy. And so, like, how many of you would think that I'm shy? Not many. I actually went and told my boss at CDC, my goal for this year is don't be shy. And she cracked up. She goes, Susan Ellis, you are. There's not one shy bone in your body in your bones. I'm thinking, well, there is sometimes. What I mean by that is sometimes the dream of God for our life sounds a little crazy. Like, right now, the dream of God for my life is I would call everyone to believe that there are enough people to love 1 billion suffering children. 1 billion is a big number. There's only 7 billion in the whole world and only 2 billion Christians, and that means one of every two is going to have to step up to the plate. But I believe God has called me to believe he's going to do that. So don't be shy means being willing to say what the Lord is showing you if, in fact, you're in a situation where that is what it would be good. So I would say God brings his dream to us because unfailing love is unfailing, and you are the Winds of Change dream team. I'm going to go to the next slide. So I have to tell you something else that happened this past week. So I'm sitting in Finland. The day of Johnny's death was September 19th, and his birthday was the next day, September 20th. So when he was run over, we had had everything ready for his birthday party and all the presents in the closet, and we never got to celebrate. So one of the things that I was thinking as I was reflecting those 2 days, the 19th and 20th, is about how he was so full of love, and his signature characteristic is he had these red cowboy boots that he wore everywhere, and he wore them to church, and he ran in church with his red cowboy boots, and I'd have some people who looked to me like, lady, can you not keep your son from running in church? And I'd have other people who just laughed, like Miss Linda, who first met Johnny that way. But I was sitting there thinking, you know, Lord, I've never seen a pair of red cowboy boots or red boots I could get away with wearing at my age and stage of life, but I would love to have a pair of red boots that would remind me how you have redeemed my suffering. And you have, when the storm arose, Jesus arose, and he has said, peace be still, and he has invited me into his eternal fellowship with rejoicing and to live at that place above the clouds. And I thought, if I could just, it was kind of like a daydream. But, of course, you're never thinking it's going to happen. And a couple of you know me well enough to know I hate shopping. I'm certainly not going to go shopping looking for them. And so I'm walking home in this little town in Finland, and I take a shortcut. And when I take the shortcut, I go by this store, and those red boots that I have on my feet right here, if you can't see me, were right there on the front display counter. And I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, I cannot believe, like, I could get away with wearing those. And so I went in, checked the price, and I thought, if I get these, I'm going to have to send Brian an email because he'll be wondering who is spending this kind of money. I mean, they were really not, they're a lot for my standards, but probably for most people's standards, they wouldn't be. But why do I want to tell you this? Because God is so intent on giving us little whispers of his love. I'm going to be wearing these boots around, and now you guys know the secret, but nobody else is going to have a clue that it was God's gift to me that nobody else could have given me. And I am telling you, if you're just going to walk in your dream, I just think we ought to start asking each other a new question, like, what's your dream? And can I help you walk in it? And can I pray for you right now? I'm not even kidding you. So God is wanting to call us to live this Winds of Change dream team life. I'm not going to finish. I had a few more things to share, but there is one other thing I want to share because it's pretty important, I think. What God is doing, has been doing over the past 20 years for children, for nations, and for generations, I think he is going to be using us increasingly around the world as like his first followers, kind of almost like the first disciples, to make transformational and generational impact. And so as that's happening, I had a slide. I do want to go to the seven spheres one. Lindsay, can you go to the slide that has the seven spheres of influence, maybe? Okay, we'll see if she does. So what God is doing is he's assembling these seven spheres of influence and many believers inside and outside of them to collaborate together and believe if groups of faith, government, business, education, family, media, arts, and entertainment are working together, we can address this problem of 1 billion children every year getting abused and of violence being the number one killer in our world for 15 to 29-year-olds and of it causing brain damage that's irreparable. That can be addressed, but it's only going to be addressed through the church. And the leaders of the world are seeing it. I have to go next month to a meeting in Geneva at the UN complex again, and God is allowing me to identify four leaders of faith that they're inviting to come, which I am very grateful for. Because what is happening is the world is seeing they cannot get to where they need to be without the church. The World Bank president in 2002 said this: half of all education and healthcare in the world is provided by the church. They do not speak to each other, and they certainly do not speak to us here at the bank. This must change. Listen to that word, winds of change. This must change. So I just want to share with you, it's a monumental new era in which not only have we realized before, well, we probably could have something to offer to governments, but I'm here to tell you governments are realizing that they need what only we can bring. So I'm going to close with a prayer request to leave us with, and that is, and I'm going a few minutes over, but I feel like this is important. The Time magazine for September 19th, which was, again, the day that was the anniversary of when Johnny died, has this story about the migrant crisis in Europe, and it also has another story about Christians in Europe, but there are 1 million migrants who have gone into Europe as refugees in 2015, and there are 566 million Christians in Europe. If you just turn 12 pages later, you see that. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, well, every 566, you know, help one, you know, you have a lot that could be done. But what I want to do, if you could, Lindsay, if you can go to the slide that says goodness and destiny, a picture of a woman holding a little baby. I like to end with that. And if you're not there anymore, that's fine. So there are thousands and thousands of thousands of people dying on these boats trying to go from Libya to Italy every week. So this is a woman named Goodness, and her little baby under the flash is named Destiny. And they are living anything but goodness and destiny. And I believe we have an invitation to change that. We may not know how our praying for them changes it, but I believe that it will. Just like our praying for all those 70 kids and all these nations is changing children and nations and generations. So she was sold into sex trafficking by a man who bought her into Senegal. She got pregnant with this little baby. She was kicked out, and she did have a little bit of money left. And so she took that money to try to get passage on a boatway going to Italy and to become a migrant. I think it's fascinating that her name is Goodness, because her life certainly has not been good. And I think it's fascinating she named her baby Destiny, because that little baby is the product of rape and is not walking currently into any kind of destiny that anyone would have for him. So I'm going to read this one sentence about her, because you have to wonder if God has even his own writing this article. Goodness has no skills, no schooling, and no safe haven, only a fierce desire to give her baby Destiny the opportunities she never had. She says, God must have a plan. I just have to wait and see what it is. I'm here to tell you, if you just put out your hands and say, I promise, Lord, if you will show me your will, I will follow you, he's going to tell you something a lot bigger than you could imagine you could do. And it's because you can't do it. He can do it, and he's going to do it through his dream team that he's going to send alongside of you. And if you have a prayer, Lord, show me, is there anything I'm blind to? That's your call in my life, and I'm ready to believe you're going to walk me into it. I invite you to pray that prayer. But whether you open your hands with a promise or pray that prayer about reveal to me my blind spots, can you please join and can we pray with Destiny and Goodness for them? Lord, we thank you for Goodness and Destiny. And we thank you that we are going to believe that winds of change and restoration will come for them, that they will have their lives transformed and be living lives of outrageous hope. Lord, we pray some of those 566 million Christians in Europe would come alongside of them. Lord, we know from the quote from this little six-year-old boy, Alex, this past week, all that those children really need is a family. And a lot of us here at home would sure like another brother or sister. So, Lord, we thank you that you have a new definition of family, and you are putting families together to be great blessing to your body and to the world. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you again for your attentiveness. I want to thank you because of you, I can stand here and go there. And I want to thank Susha and Katya and all of our kids, because you have given to us more than we could ever give to you. And I adore you.
Would you just pray for us?
I'd like to ask Susan if she would pray for us. And she mentioned earlier in a message just holding out her hands and saying, Lord, would you show me your calling and your destiny for me? And there's faith on that for her. So I'm going to ask Susan to pray for us, that the Lord would begin to reveal to us in greater, massive measure his calling for you individually and for us as a people. So I'm going to ask, would you just close that?
If that's you, I just ask you to open both hands before you. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're such a good father, and good fathers love having talks with their children. Lord, I thank you that there are many of us in the room that have our hands held out again. Maybe we've said this before, maybe not for a long time. But Lord, we want to say to you, we are so full of gratitude for all you have done for us that we want nothing more than to love you in return. And we want to say, Lord, if you reveal to us your dream for our lives, the eye has not seen, ear has not heard, has not entered the heart of man kind of dream, all you have prepared for those who love you, We thank you that you want to reveal that by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would be doing that this week, even right now, Lord. We're just going to be quiet before you and ask you to be speaking to anyone whose hands are outstretched. And Lord, we thank you with our whole hearts that you call us part of your dream team and that you say we are a reflection of your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.